All right. It's great to be here, and we're delighted you're with us. It's hard to believe it's August, but it is. And we've been talking about the parables for the last 2 months. How many have enjoyed the series we've done? Yeah, I think we've had a lot of great positive feedback. And we have today, we talked about what should we do here on this particular Sunday as we're getting into university, starting back in the full gamut of all the activities that will encompass. And I wanted to talk about really a subject that's really near and dear to my heart, and that is character. And the title of the sermon this morning is Why Character Matters. Why character matters. How many realize that we live in a culture where things don't always appear to be what they are presented to be? If you're watching the evening news, if you're looking at people on Facebook, if you're doing anything on social media, there is an illusion out there. There is a perception of one thing, and then the reality or the essence of what that thing, when you really delve into it, is quite different than first appearances. Amen. And so we live in a culture where fashion and image and what looks to be trendy and cool and in vogue is what people are propagating and peddling. But when you pull past the veneer, when you pull past the externals and the superficial, you realize there's something quite different than what was sold to me. Amen. And so we have a culture that talks a lot about all these wonderful things about trust and faithfulness and equality and dignity. And these are great words, and they mean a lot. But when you pull back the veil, you realize these people aren't in it for those attributes. They're in it to gain something from the situation. And we need to understand that character in this culture really matters, because it looks as though people who don't have character and say one thing and do another are getting away with their foibles and getting away with their lies and their pretenses. I want you to know something, that's not the case. Even though they look like they may be getting away with it, ultimately the chickens will come home to roost. Amen. In anyone's life. And we're going to be talking about that. Why character matters, the importance of character in an age of image. Why is it important to have character when people can really just doctor up the outside, put the pretense of something totally different, and fool all their constituents or fool the people that are believing they're one thing? And why is it that we should really be what we purport to be? We're going to be talking about that. The main reason why we need to be men and women of character is because God is a God of character. God is a God who has this thing called integrity, that when God says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he is the truth. There is no the or truth. That God exists in an area where everything he says and does is identical to his nature. It facilitates his integrity and his character. We as Christians need to be that. How many have ever heard someone say, well, the reason I don't want to go to the church down there is because there's so many hypocrites? Anyone ever heard that excuse? My father, who was a deacon in a Baptist church in South Carolina, he would hear that a lot when he'd go visit some of the neighbors. And he'd say, well, you know what? There are a lot of hypocrites there, but don't worry. Come on anyway. One more won't hurt. So the point is that we easily can look when people are doing something or purporting to be something they're not. We call it hypocrisy, don't we? And we hate it. Why? Because we understand there's something about integrity and character that is the very essence of God. God is truth. God is upright. God cannot lie. God is integrity. He is faithful. He's forgiving. He is full of justice and honor. All the things that we scream about in the political arena that politicians are allegedly supporting us for, that's what God is. He is truth. He's righteous. He's good. He's fair. There is nothing inequitable about God's nature. That's why the Bible tells us that God said, I'm going to make man in my image, man and woman. I'll make him in my image, and they will be exactly like me. They will bear my image. In other words, there's something in us, not just the physical image we bear, but there's something in our nature, our essence, that longs for justice, that longs for equity, that longs for truth, that longs for honor, because God's put it there, not because some politician makes that the talking points of his speech. God's put it in your heart. We know we should be truthful. We know we should tell the truth. We know we should be people of honor. Why? We've been made in the image of God. You've been made in the image of God. As hard as that may seem to believe, we are made to be like God. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, 28, is that we're meant to be not just image bearers, but we're to go and we're to reproduce and we're to spread God's image into the entire earth. It's called the cultural mandate. Go and take rule and subdue the earth. What are we going to spread? We're going to spread his image. If we're made in his image, we'll be spreading truth and honor and dignity and respect and all these things that we all long for in our hearts. Exodus chapter 34. Then the Lord passed in front of Moses and proclaimed, I am the Lord God. I am the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger. Aren't you glad God is slow to anger when we do all our crazy stuff? He's slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, truth. He keeps mercy to 1,000 generations. I'm so glad God is a God of mercy. He's not just a God of truth, but he's also a God of mercy, who forgives iniquity and transgressions and sins, yet he will not leave the guilty unpunished. In other words, he is a God who upholds justice. Now, Moses said, this is the God we serve, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's equitable. He's just. He's righteous. He's forgiving to 1,000 generations. He's merciful when we don't deserve mercy. These are the attributes that mark the God of the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Hebrews that we're following. And this is God's characteristics. These are his natures that we should emulate as people of God today. We should be truthful. You missed a good chance to say amen. We should be right. We should be merciful. We should be forgiving. We should be gracious. We should want justice more than we want our own way. Psalms 15, 1 through 5, the next scripture. I love this. The psalmist is writing, he says, Lord, who may dwell in your tent? Who can fellowship with you, God? Who can cohabitate with you, God? Who can have a relationship with you? He said, who can dwell on your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness with his hands and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does he do evil towards his neighbor, nor take up a reproach against a friend in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors and fears the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and changes not. Lord, deliver us to Psalms 15. Amen. Wouldn't it be great if people did what they said they were going to do? You wouldn't have all these lawsuits and litigation going on. You told me you would do this. Now do what you said. My father, he taught me something early in life. He wasn't an educated man, only had a 10th grade education. His father died when he was 13 years old, went and joined the army when he was 15 illegally, but they took him anyway. Here's what he said, son. He says, do what you say you're going to do. Do it. If you're not going to do it, don't say it. And I will tell you, God tells you and I, do what you say you're going to do. They give the word and they change not. And he honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He does not put his money out for interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things, who walks in integrity, who walks in character, they will never stumble. I like that. Have you ever had a chance where there was something happening in your life and it would have been easy to kind of compromise truth, or it would be easy not to give the whole truth? You give a little bit of truth, but not, anybody besides me? Okay, two more people. Okay, we've all had those moments where we could kind of say, well, you know, I don't have to tell all of it. I don't have to dispose or reveal everything that's going on, and then perhaps maybe I can get away with what I want to get away. I remember it was 1995, Renee. We lived in California, Granada Hills, California. And we had 4 children in 5 years. Rebecca, Ben, Rachel, and Abby. Abby was a baby. And I remember God was blessing us and great things were happening. That's when I first met Pastor Ron and Cindy in 1994 when I came here. We were living in California. And we had 4 kids in 5 years. How many know that's tough? How did that happen? We'll talk to you after the service. But I would just remember these kids were growing, and Ben and Becca were growing, and you know, and I'm thinking I got to get money, you know. So we were in the ministry, and I had other peripheral support, and then we had a Christian company that I was a telemarketer for, or actually a representative. And what would happen is when I would get churches to sign up for this Christian telephone long distance company, I would get a commission. I would get a bit of what they gave, and it was cheaper than AT&T and MCI and all those. You don't know that, but Google it. Those were networks that they used to have when there were these things called hardline telephones. And so I remember it was going real good. God was blessing us. And, you know, we were really being blessed, and we were blessing churches, and all these people were loving the service and everything. And then I remember Abigail was born, and then I was traveling some. And we just had an earthquake, the Great Northridge quake out in California. And everything was shut down. The valley was shut down. And I remember getting a check from this company for $3,000. And that was a lot of money back in 94. It's a lot of money today. Amen. Some of you call us and say, that's pretty good today, bro. Yeah. Yeah, $3,000 back in 94 was good. You could live good. I mean, KFC and Dunkin' Donuts. You know what I'm talking about. So there was a lot of latitude. And I remember we got the money, we spent it. And guess what? With 5 little ones, and they were growing and eating. Little kids can eat so much. Have you noticed that? I told little kids. I mean, Ben, my son Ben, who played football when he was 3 years old, we had to feed him out of a satellite dish. He was eating so much. I mean, you talk about consuming. So it took money. It took money to feed these people. You know, keep pay the rent and keep everything going. How many know what I'm talking about? And so we got this check, and I'm thinking, praise God. So we spend it. I think we spend it on our bills. We do everything we need to do. And I look on the thing, and guess what? The commission wasn't meant to go to me. It was meant to go to somebody else. I found out 2 months later. Guess where the money is? It's gone. And I can't pay it back. And I thought, you know, they made a mistake. It was their problem. They sent me. Clerically, they made a mistake, so I'm not really responsible. God said, no, 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 no. You are responsible. He says, I want you to call the department head, and I want you to tell him what's happened, and that you will do whatever it takes to reimburse him that money that they mistakenly sent to you by mistake. You're responsible. You're culpable if you don't do something. Can I tell you what I did? I got on the phone the next morning, called Oklahoma City, talked to the president. His name was Tracy Freeney. I said, Tracy, thank you for what you guys are doing with our ministry and helping support us. I said, you made a mistake. I said, you sent me $3,000 and it wasn't mine. It should have gone to another agent. It was in his account, and I didn't take it. It was silence for what seemed like 30 seconds, which was probably 5 seconds, dead silence. He said, Ken, you know what? Don't worry about it. We had such a good month last month. I'm just going to give it to you. You've earned it. Can you say what else happened? Not only did he forgive it and said, look, it's yours to keep, he called me back up the next week and said, we'd like for you to come and speak at our business banquet in Oklahoma City. What was it? It was a test. Not about money, but about, did I trust God or did I trust somebody else's paycheck? Did I trust God or did I trust that character and integrity is what God supports in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the tribulation, in the midst of the difficulties that you have? Do what is right, even if it hurts. The righteous man, the man of character, swears to his own hurt and changes not. Amen. What is character? Webster's 1828 dictionary says, character is determined by the inner life of a person. It will reflect either the traits of the sinful nature being influenced by the world or the traits of the divine nature being influenced by God and by the Holy Spirit. You're either a man of character or a woman of character, or you're a person who needs to be a man or woman of character. It's this inner thing. It's who you are. It's not what you look like. It's not how you dress. It's not the car you have. It's not the dress you have or the shoes you have on. It is who you are on the inside. Character is who you are when no one's looking. People come up to me, and I get to do this. When I travel a good bit, I'll do success seminars and speak to leaders. They say, what's the secret to ministry success? What's the secret to doing well in life? And I always tell them the same thing. The secret of the successful life is the success of your secret life. Let me say it again. The secret of the successful life is the success of your secret life. Who are you when no one's around? Who are you when you're by yourself? Who am I when my wife and kids are away? What am I looking at on YouTube? What am I being tempted to look at? What's going on in my heart when no one's around? That's who you really are. That's who I really am. And God is looking. God is watching. Will you, will I be what he says we're meant to be? Integral. Men and women of character. I hope we can say yes to that. The Greek word for character is interesting. It literally means, it's the word karacho. It literally means to notch out with a chisel and a hammer, to notch out. It means to engrave, to stamp upon by way of pressure. In other words, the Greek word for character is the same as a printing press or an engraving press putting heat and pressure on a coin to put the inscription and the insignia on that coin, and it comes by way of pressure, application of heat and pressure. Can I tell you how character comes in your life, how character comes in my life? Through application of pressure. It's when God is pressing down on us, the situations of life are creating heat, and all of a sudden we're forming this insignia of God, or we're forming an insignia of the world, and we're going to be imprinted by the pressure of that stamp that we adhere to. Character doesn't come because you say, oh, I just want character. There's pressure, my friend. There's pressure. Can I tell you what? It is not cool to be a Christian in today's world. It is not cool to say Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In fact, that is the epitome of arrogance, like many post-Christian people and secularists will tell you. How dare you say you have the truth? What about these people? What about their truth? Can I tell you something? There's pressure to live for Jesus. There's pressure to do what's right because everybody's doing what's wrong. Everyone's compromising, and it's cool and trendy and in vogue, and no one's being held accountable, at least not on this side of eternity. But one day we will give an account for who we are. And the pressure of life, the insignia of God's character, is impressed upon us by the pressures of life that we go through. Corosso. What does it mean to have integrity? It means soundness, moral principles, the character of an uncorrupted virtue. I love this, especially in relationships to the truth. Fair dealings, uprightness, soundness, purity, honesty. When you have integrity, you are what you appear to be. You say what you mean and do what you said you would do. That's integrity. That's what God wants because God is integral. God is a God of character. And we as his children, we're meant to bear his image. We're meant to walk in the essence of his nature. Identifying real character. Next slide. I love this. It says, this is by someone anonymous. I don't know where I got the quote, but it's a great quote nonetheless. It says, character must not be confused with reputation. Character is what a man is. Reputation may be what he is not. Character is one's intrinsic value. Reputation is what is thought of a man, his value in the market of public opinion day by day. Character is stable and enduring, while a man's reputation is like his shadow. It sometimes follows, it sometimes precedes him. It's sometimes longer, it is sometimes shorter than he himself. What's he saying here? He's saying this thing called character is much greater than what people think of you in the marketplace of ideas. What's your reputation? Now, it's good to have a nice reputation, but how many know reputations can change like the Tallahassee weather? It can change. Who you really are is not what you appear to be, but it's what you really are when all the makeup and all the facade and all the presuppositions are moved away. You see? And so character, at the end of the day, it's character that keeps us. It's character that makes people want to trust us. You know what limits you most? Well, I didn't come from the right family. I don't have the right money. I'm not tall enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not handsome enough. I'm not athletic. No, you know what limits you? It's not all those things, and those are great attributes, by the way. What limits you is a lack of character. What limits me is a lack of character. Even when people don't acknowledge it, God will acknowledge it. God will supernaturally elevate you. He will promote you in a situation when you walk in character. In 1989, there was a man named Andre Agassi. If we put the slide up there. He was a tennis player. How many remember that name? Yeah, some of you Google it. He was the Michael Jordan of tennis. And he did an advert commercial for Nike, and his whole slogan was, "Image is everything. Image is everything." Can I tell you what? Nike and their stock skyrocketed because people started buying the apparel. And here you see Agassi in 1989. He's a handsome young guy, won Wimbledon. He was top in the world. He had won 8 Grand Slams. I mean, he was everything. And his whole thing was, image is everything. Can I tell you what? A lot of us who've never even heard of this guy still believe it. Image is everything. Can I tell you what? Image is not everything. Image is what you appear to be on the outside. How many know that most people in our culture can look pretty good with a little money and a little time? You can lose weight. You can put on makeup. You know, they got eyelashes now with, you know, waves back at you. People can look good. Listen to me. I'm preaching now. You can be dog face ugly and you can look like a poodle on Monday. I mean, if there's a lot that cosmetics can do for you and I. Amen. Their image is not everything. It's what we appear to be. Now here we see, let's fast forward 40 years later. Here's Andre Agassi, and the one in the right corner, that's him of wishing of the glory days gone by. And there he is currently. Now, he looks okay for a 60-year-old man, but let me tell you something. Nobody's buying his product. He don't have long hair no more. He has no hair no more. He can't play tennis like he could when he was 22. People aren't knocking on his door. People aren't wanting his autograph. What's happened? The image has changed. Can you say what? Image is not everything, ladies and gentlemen. You are, and I am, what we are in our character. You are, and I am, what I am in the moments when no one's around. That's who you really are. That's who I really am. Anybody can fake it. You can fake the funk. Fake it till you make it. You can do that. We can all do that. Can I tell you what? God's looking for integrity. God's looking for people who are character. They appear to be what they say they are. And they're not trying to keep up some facade to impress the world. And I'm not saying don't be excellent. I'm not saying don't be a person who tries to look good. What I am saying is be a man of God. Be a woman of God and let that be sufficient. If you have that character that we're talking about here. Image is what people think you are on the football field, in the movie, on the Avis commercial, or on the Geico commercial. Have you ever met a celebrity? I have. A celebrity, and you see them on TV, and they're bigger than life. Now, listen. And one of the times was here in Florida State. I don't know if I should say this, but I'm going to do it anyway because we're in church. But I just met Ron and Chip, and I did the chapel service for the football team, And I remember standing on the sidelines. They were the Florida State sideline coach, you know, famous coach, Coach Bowden. See what I'm saying? Image. People forget. Coach Bowden. Coach Bowden was there, and he said, yeah, come stay on the sideline. Sweet guy, wonderful guy. And I remember sitting there, and I'm standing by this guy, and I'm looking out there, and they're winning the game, and we're having, and this guy's talking to me, and I kept looking. I said, he kind of looks familiar. And then after a while, some guy went up to him, and this guy was a famous celebrity. If I told you his name right now, you'd think, wow. And I couldn't believe it when I saw him in person. He didn't look anywhere close to what he looks like on TV. I'm thinking this big guy, 6'2", handsome. I mean, he was a, you know, and his face, he had a horrible complexion. It looked like, it was terrible. And I'm not going to tell you his name, but he was a heartthrob in Hollywood. And I couldn't believe, this is the guy we paid money to go see? This is him? Yeah. Yeah, I remember one time we were in California. Renee knows about this one. I'm driving on the 405 going home, and I'm trying to exit the Encino thing. 405 is a really busy freeway, and I'm trying to exit, and I look over there, and there's a guy I look like I think I know. He's in the next lane next to me, and we're stopped. And I'm looking over there, and guess who it is? It's Robert Redford. Robert Redford. And the more I looked, I said, no, I know that's him. But the more I looked at him, I thought, golly, he looks really bad. He needs some help. And I couldn't believe it. And it's amazing what, when you get on TV or you get in front of something, I mean, you've seen people, you've seen in real life, you see them on their shot on Facebook and stuff, then you see them in real life, you think, what happened? You know, people can look good, they can look good. And I tell you what, that's exactly what people do to church. They look good, hallelujah. They can walk out, praise the Lord, and glory to his name, you know. And you were having a fight with your wife on the way to church, and now all of a sudden you're religious. You're right. Getting quiet in here. Let me tell you, image is not everything. It's who you and I are. Let me close this down. Image is what, next slide. Image is what people think we are. Integrity is what we really are. When I have integrity and godly character, my words and my actions match up. I do what I say I'm going to do. I'll be at church at 11. I'll be there at 11. Not 11:15, not 11:30. Church starts at 11. I'll be there at 11. I said I'd be there on time. I'm going to be there on time. Do what you say you're going to do. That's integrity. That's character. That's doing the hard yards when no one else knows except God. No one else is going to reward you. No one's going to give you money. No one's going to pat you on the back except God's going to say, that's my child. That's my man. That's my woman. Why? You look like me. You do what is right, even if no one knows you're doing it. Integrity. When I have integrity, my words match my actions. Number three, I am who I am, no matter where I am or no matter who I am with. I'm a born-again, tongue-talking Christian no matter where I am or who I'm with. And can I tell you something? We need people who are not afraid to pronounce the fact that they love God more than they love the world and love God more than they want to be accepted in our culture. And that precedes me because that's who I am. That is my identity. I'm a Christian born again. I love God. I'm married. People say, are you married? Yes, and I'm happily married. Happily married. I tell people, let me tell you, when I get to travel and all the things I've done, let me tell you, the enemy's thrown some things at me, and I can tell you what, if it wasn't for the integrity of God and the character of the God he's burned in me, I'm not sure I'd be standing here today telling you and talking to you about character. Because God did something in me. He pressed his character upon me that saved me from stumbling if I depended on my own willpower in those temptations. I am who I am, no matter where I am, or no matter who I'm with. The secret of the successful life is the success of your secret life. One of the outstanding ironies of history is the utter disregard that rank and titles have in the final judgment that men pass on each other. The final estimate of men in history cares not an iota of the rank or title a man has borne, or the office he has held, but only the quality of his deeds and the character of his mind and his heart. It's not what you did. It's not the great things you accomplished. It's not you winning the game with the last touchdown or hitting the shot when the clock was ticking out. Who were you in the economy of God's world? Who was I? That's what really counts. No one remembers. I went back to my college reunion. Can I say something? I was 2-time all-conference, first team, all-American. I went back and people didn't even know who I was. They didn't know who I was. Ken, oh, yeah, Ken, welcome. Thinking, yeah, can do, all-American can do, you know. No. No. They don't care. They don't care. And so that's exactly the way history is. What really counts is, are we people that emulate and transcend and demonstrate the power of God? Proverbs 10:9 says this, he who walks in integrity walks securely. I don't know about you, but I want to walk securely when I walk. If I'm a man of integrity, I'm going to be secure. Ben Carson, who was the Surgeon General under Bush, tremendous guy, Ben Carson. How many recognize him? African-American gentleman, great man. He said he was, when he got elected or appointed a Surgeon General under that administration, he said he had a woman approach him with her attorney saying, you were the father of my child, and I want $10 million. Blackmailing him. You know what he said? He said, let's go to court. She goes, no. She says, I really mean this. We're going to go to court, and you fathered this child, and I've got DNA proof that you're the father. He goes, let's go to court. I'm ready to go to court. And she backed down, and finally he told his attorney, he says, why are you so confident you'd win? He goes, I've never had sex with anybody except my own wife. Let's go to court. I don't have to worry about it. I know it's not me. I know this is a scam because I know what I've done because I'm a man of integrity. I've only had one woman, and she's the only one I've ever touched. We can go to court because I'm going to be exonerated. Don't you wish we could have that kind of character? Don't you wish we could have that kind of boldness? That devil, you can't accuse me. You can't blackmail me. Let's go to court before God because I've been walking in holiness and purity. I have his character. I have his integrity. That's marking my life. Guard my soul and deliver me. Do not let me be ashamed, for I take refuge in thee, O Lord. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me. You want to be protected? You want to walk upright? You want to be preserved? Be a man of character. Be a woman of integrity. God will always honor character over charisma. Let me tell you, you may be able to sing and preach and play the harmonica with your toes. I don't know. You could do all these wonderful things. You may have all these kind of talents. But can you tell what? Character supersedes any other talent. Faithfulness. Charisma is important, but character is essential. You got to have people you can trust around you. In fact, we don't like people who we can't trust. That's why God says, be trustworthy. People will never follow a person they cannot trust, not for long. If someone cheats you or says a little white lie or something, guess what? You won't follow, particularly if it's a pastor or a leader, someone like that, because you realize if they're lying to me now, they could lie to me on a bigger issue. So we don't follow. We don't trust people who prove not to be trustworthy. I'll end with this. Isaiah chapter 53, speaking of Jesus, prophesying what Jesus would be like. I want to show that slide. Slide with the banana? No. Next slide. Go back. Did you get that slide with the... I can't. We got to show that slide. There we are. Yeah, this is in our Facebook culture, our social media culture. Here the pineapple is interviewing the banana for a job and looking at his post on Facebook. Says, you don't look like your pics. He says, yeah, that was Tuesday. Think about it. You know, bananas, they only last maybe 2 or 3 days, and they start looking really bad. Have you seen people that you see their post, and they look like And you see him in real life, and you go, golly, what happened? You know. Okay, anyway. That was thrown on your own viewing pleasure. All right, go back down to where we were. The last scripture, Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up, speaking of Jesus, before them as a tender shoot. And like a root out of a parched ground, he has no stately form or majesty. What, wait a minute, you talking about Jesus? You talking about the one who saved us, the one? I've seen the movies of him. Yeah, no stately form, no majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we would be attracted to him. He wasn't the best looking. He wasn't top of the crop. He wasn't the one most likely to succeed. He wasn't the one who was chiseled and cut and worked out. He looked like a normal, average person. There was nothing that made him stand out in appearance that we would esteem him or want to follow him. He was despised and forsaken by men. He wasn't popular. He was hated. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hid their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. He was the antithesis, ladies and gentlemen, of what we think is successful and handsome and popular and trendy and in vogue. It was just the opposite. It was his message. It was who he was that captured people's hearts. That said, this really must be the Son of God. This has to be the Messiah. Not because of the way he looks. Not because he's got the trendy shoes on or he's got the nice suit. It's because of what he did and how he lives and what he preaches. He demonstrates through character something that transcends fashion and style. He must be the Messiah. He must be. We've seen all the shows and the trendy people from Rome and all the people who looked the part. They don't measure up because they don't have this thing. This thing called integrity and righteousness and godly character. They are not walking in the truth. The Holy Spirit is looking for leaders. He's looking for people in Tallahassee who don't just go to church, who don't just wear a cross around their neck. Thank you if you do that. But it's more than that. He's looking for people who exhibit character more than they want credit. They're faithful to his kingdom more than they want to be famous. They want to be righteous more than they want and desire recognition. They desire God's purpose more than they want worldly position and secular prominence. It's either or, ladies and gentlemen. Does it mean we can't have things? No. It means that we can have things, but those things don't have us. That we are men and women who are marked by this thing called character. That's marked by this thing called integrity. And that's what the world's looking for. Do what you say you're going to do. I'm going to be a Christian. Okay, let me see it. And if I see it, you might actually convince me. Let's pray. Bow your heads, please. Rachel, if you'll come up and play, or Ashley. Why character matters. Why is it important for us to have character in this modern day where image and appearance is so prominent? It's because God wants a people who will be his people, whether we're acknowledged by the culture or not, but if we're acknowledged by him, it is a kingdom. That's what he's after. I just want to ask you a question. Are you what you are and what you should be in public, in private? Are you doing things in private that, quite frankly, would embarrass you if your mother knew about it, or your sister, or your brother, or your dad, or a pastor in this church knew about it? Would you be embarrassed what you do on a Saturday night or a Friday night, or in the quietness of your room looking at a computer screen? Would you be embarrassed, or would you say, no, Pastor Ken, God's helped me to be a man of character, a woman of character. Am I who I say I am when I'm around non-Christians? When people who don't even care about God, they're swearing and cursing. Am I still walking in holiness? Am I still trying to influence them instead of fit in and get them to like me and accept me? Am I a person of character? Do I have integrity when I have to be honest and it hurts It's easier to be quiet. It's easier to lie. It's easier just to tell a little white lie or compromise and get away with stuff. And, you know, it's not big, but it's not godly character. And you know it. I know it. That's why we feel bad about it when we do it. With your heads down, your eyes closed, if you're here today, and you say, Pastor Ken, I need to be a man. I need to be a woman of character. I need to be someone who lives my private life as if it were public. I've had some issues in my private life that I'm ashamed of, that I've compromised in, and I need God to help me. I need to help, get help. Before I can get help, I've got to acknowledge that it's an issue. I've got to acknowledge it's a problem. I've got to own it, and own up. If you're here today and that's you say, Pastor Ken, I'm dealing with those issues, those little foxes in the vineyard that are trying to spoil my character and spoil my integrity and cause me not to walk as a man or woman of God. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand up high. Raise your hand up high. Yes. 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 You may put it down. Father, all those hands that came up, I pray in Jesus' name that you would, first of all, forgive us for being afraid. And forgive us for believing that the lie that if we do what's right, it's going to hurt us and we're not going to come out in a good situation. Lord, we know that, Lord, you'll uphold us, that you'll guide us, that you'll bring justice and forgiveness to us if we do what's right and admit it. So, Lord, I thank you that we're admitting this. And, Lord, let us be people who not just talk about character and talk about integrity. Let us be people who demonstrate it through our life, publicly and privately. Lord, I thank you for this day. I pray that you would bless us. Let us be this type of people that would represent you in honor and integrity as we go forth. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's all stand together, shall we? Stand with me, please. God, I just pray a blessing over the congregation. Let us go out and be the church. Let us go out and be a light lit upon a hill that gives light to those who are in darkness. And we thank you for this time. Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said amen. God bless you. If you need prayer for anything, we're glad you came, but if you need prayer for something other than what we talked about, please come up here. The prayer team will hear. If you want